Y'all may be seated. Oh, the Spirit of the Lord is in this place this morning. Maybe y'all didn't hear me. I said, the Spirit of the Lord is in this place this morning. And it's not by chance. We always pray that the Lord will meet us here. And He has met us here. I should say we met Him here, because He is not leaving this place. This morning, before I get started, I was just going to... That song sort of touched something. All that is going on around in this world today, not just in this country, in this world today, Satan's MO has never changed. This famine, pandemic, whatever you want to call it, has destroyed a lot of fragments of our lives. It's taken from our life people that we love, circumstances that we wouldn't have been in as bad as we are now because of this. He is trying to get our eyes off of God, who is the author and finisher of our faith. He is trying to bring about those same old spirits of depression, despair. The title that I had this morning was Seeing God's Supernatural Provisions in This Time of Famine. And what I'm going to use is something I haven't talked about in a long time, but seems like his name is coming up more often here lately than enough, is our buddy, our friend, our old prophet, Elijah. You see, saints, what depression and discouragement and despair often brings is distorted information. Elijah, right now on the scene, he's all by himself. Depression gets worse if there's nobody in your life to change your thinking. See, if you're feeling sorry for yourself and you're talking to yourself, don't you know that's bad information for yourself? If you're already feeling sorry and there's nobody to talk to but you, about you, regarding you, to tell you what you ought to do, and you're not in a place to even hear that, you're not even in a place to even hear you correctly, then your discussion with yourself is helping yourself to become worse off about you. During this time, we can let nothing take your eyes off of God. You cannot let anything say that God is not your provider. So God then enters the picture and tells Elijah, he says, tell me how you feel. Stop talking to yourself. When you talk to yourself, you're getting deep into depression. You'll become suicidal. Stop talking to me. Start talking to me. Now, I'm going to show you the winds, the rains, and all of that stuff. God is talking to me. He's talking to you. He's talking to us. You all got to talk to me, he says, because you talking to me and you not talking to me is destroying you. Since I don't want you destroyed, stop talking to you and begin talking to me. See, God has an answer for you. He's got a person for you. He has himself for you. So he gave Elijah all three of those to give him a supernatural experience to lift him out of his depression. And one of the reasons that the church exists is to have people available in your life when you're down, who can embrace you, minister to you, lift you up, and he can use you to do the same thing for somebody else. Because when you are depressed, you need another perspective. That doesn't deny the reality of how you feel. But what it does, it doesn't let you stay there. When you're looking at life, the life of Elijah, to discover the supernatural, see, the way things are going now, we are looking for the supernatural. We want to receive the supernatural. That's why we can't allow this world to tear our eyes away from God as being the main source of all that the devil thinks he's taken away from you. And I don't want you to miss this point. I want you to hear this clearly today. We're going to be introduced to him and learn about the lesson about God's supernatural provisions. The contact in which Elijah appears on the scene, and he appears in 1 Kings chapter 17. We are told that in verse 1, now Elijah, the Tishbite, who was of the settlers of Gilead. Now, we don't know a lot about Elijah. He just sort of popped up on the scene. And there he was. His name means Yahweh is my God. So that tells us a little bit about his mother and father, who named him. They were obviously people of faith. Forgot about this thing. People of faith that would give him that name. Prophets, as Elijah was, showed up because there was a spiritual issue among God's people that needed to be addressed. Prophets were there to bring God's message in the midst of typically of spiritual decline. And wouldn't you say this world is in spiritual decline? Well, the scenario that brings Elijah on the scene is summarized for us in chapter 16, in verse 32 and 33. So he erected an altar. That is, King Ahab erected an altar for Baal in the house of Baal, which he built in Samaria. Verse 33, Ahab also made Asherah. This Asherah did more to provoke the Lord God of Israel than all the other kings of Israel who were before him. So the context that brings Elijah on the scene is idolatry. Ahab, the king, has begun worshiping Baal. And he brings all the rest of Israel to worship Baal with him. He not only worships Baal, he worships Baal's girlfriend, Asherah. Because Baal and Asherah are kind of like boyfriend and girlfriend. They work together to bring fertility to Israel. They looked to this idol to bring fertility to Israel. Let me define an idol. An idol is an unauthorized person, place, or thing. When we were in grammar school, we used to call it a noun. Now is work of a person, place, or thing. Unauthorized now, unauthorized person, place, or thing that you look to meet the needs you have in your life. You're looking toward it. Idols weren't just something that was there. It was you looking to that something that was there to do something for you. So In places around the world, people will worship the sun, worship the moon, they worship the stars, they worship water, they worship trees. And they are not just worshiping that thing just to worship it. They're worshiping that because it's going to do, in hopes it's going to do something for them. This country that worship cows, I wouldn't make it there. Not at all. Every time I see a cow, I see a steak, tenderloin. But now you and I, we are here in the U.S. of A. And we don't worship those kings, those kinds of idols. We worship American idols. And I'm not talking about the TV show. We worship people, popularity, rep of people with power. We worship people with prestige and position because we look to it to meet a need. When you look at an unauthorized now, or unauthorized person, place, or thing, or when you look at an authorized now, we are unauthorized in an unauthorized way. You have an idol. You don't need a tree. It could be an actor, an actress, an entertainer. It could be your bank account. It could be your house. It could be the people that's living in your house. When you look to them in an unprescribed way from God, you just created an idol. You see, what I'm trying to get you to say, it doesn't take much. All Satan does is create a need in your life. And you say, well, I look to God and God hasn't met that need yet. He wants to tear you away and depend on him for your need, just like we turn around to depend on the government for everything. For government cheese is getting old. Them grilled cheese sandwiches get old after a while. You don't need a tree. You don't need an actor, actress, or entertainer. All you need is keeping your eyes on God. When you look at them in an unprescribed way from God, you just created an idol. So before we go any further, are there any idolaters in the house? I was hoping not. I'm glad there isn't. You may know somebody that is. You could help them. So Elijah comes in 1 Kings chapter 17, verse 1. He says to Ahab the king, he says, as the Lord, the God of Israel, lives, before whom I stand, surely there shall be neither dew nor rain these years except by my word. Ahab, God told me to tell you, heaven is going to close up. No dew, no rain, and it's not going to be for a day, a month, or a year. It may be for years. There's going to be a downturn in the agricultural economy. What do we experience today? A downfall in our agricultural economy. So he is saying, Elijah is saying, okay, Daddy, who's your daddy now? Who's your God now? Let's see what Baal can do now. Let's see what Asherah can do now. God attacks Israel at the place of their idolatry because they were looking for Baal and Asherah to bring about fertility even in the land. So that whatever you are worshiping because it's unauthorized, or it's authorized and you are worshiping it in an unauthorized way, don't be surprised when God shuts it down and lets you know that that's an idol. So God removes your provision. He removes the blessing that he has for you. He removes everything he has for you until you get another perspective. In verse 2, he says, Now the word of the Lord comes to Elijah. In verse 3 it's saying, go away from here and turn eastward and hide yourself by the brook Cherith, which is east of Jordan. Verse 4, it shall be that you will drink of the brook, and I have commanded the ravens to provide for you there. Now this just took a little bit of studying here. Just a moment, just keep your eyes on that raven, that name, that bird, raven. I'm coming back to him later. So, see, there's our word. He says, provide for you there. Amen. Provide is our word. So I'm going to use the natural provision of the brook, but I'm going to provide for you another way supernaturally, because I'm going to call on the Raven Catering Service to supply you food morning and evening. They're going to give you bread and meat, and that's called a sandwich if you didn't know. They're going to give you bread and meat morning and evening. Now, that's not normal. A brook, you can drink water from. That's normal. But having birds fly in a sandwich twice a day, having waiters fly in to deliver you food on schedule in the middle of a drought, that's not normal. Oh, but it gets worse. You see, in Deuteronomy chapter 14, verses 11 through 14, you don't have to turn there. I'm just letting you know where it is. And I think it's around verse 12, where it says, you may not eat them. Ravens are unclean. You don't mess with them because they are unclean. Well, what does that tell you about God's provision? That ought to tell you that God can use hell to bring heaven to you. You see, you never want to box God in, because while God does not sin and God does not tell you to sin, he often uses sin and sinful people to provide for his people. So the beautiful thing about God's provision is that you never want to box him in, and you don't want to be so spiritual that you miss him using ravens to address the need in your life. That was an unclean bird. It was a prohibited bird. But God is so God that even the devil has to be under his rule. He says, I want you to go to the brook because I got some birds that got your back. I got some birds that's going to cover you. I got some birds the place is called Cherith in a way. But now this ought to free you up a little bit, because that means the sky's the limit. The world is the limit. See, when God is on your side, nothing is impossible. Now this ought to, what this thing means. In order to have a supernatural raven feeding you and the birds listen to God to feed you, that means that God must be your only source. Your job is not your source. We get that mixed up. You possibly hadn't thought about it, because right now, jobs have been lost. Your job is not your source. But we really want to see the provision of God moving in your life, blessing you with finances, right? Your employer is not your source. God is your only source. Everything else is resource. It is just a mechanism that God uses, and you must free him up to use whatever resource he wants to, even if it comes from something you would not normally understand it coming from. Amen. So he's there in Cherith, eating two meals a day, talking about Elijah, drinking fresh water. I mean, he is doing okay in a bad situation. That means that when this thing started, we are doing okay. It's a bad situation, but we are doing okay. God touched maybe the government, maybe didn't not of the God that we think, but he's blessed us with food. We're doing okay right now. The government supplied money, you know, and what you call that thing, every month you receive something. But God is using that as our resource right now. But see, this thing is not going to end just now. Already they're trying to cut off stuff. But you see, in verse 7, it happens after a while that the brook dried up because there was no rain in the land. So now it becomes a recipient of the very judgment everybody else is experiencing. So follow this. At first, God provided supernaturally. But now the economy is affecting even Elijah. The circumstances in the land is affecting him. The downturn is affecting him. And things have dried up. So don't have anybody tell you that serving the Lord, things won't get dry. Serve the Lord and you won't lose your job. Don't let nobody tell you that. Serve the Lord and your bank account doesn't get drained. Serve the Lord and all things don't break down and dip into your savings that you didn't plan to use that for that. Don't let anybody tell you that if you're in God's will, Elijah was in God's will, that things won't dry up. He said the brook dried up. It was judgment on the land, and he lived in the atmosphere of that judgment, so Elijah was affected. Verse 8, it says, then the word of the Lord came to him, saying, when did the word of the Lord come to him? When things dried up. Okay? The word of the Lord came to him and told him where to go for the catering service, the ravens' catering service. So he did. You know, eating sandwiches every day, twice a day, and drinking water, all of that, all of a sudden, things happening in society is now affecting him. All that stuff has gone away, has stopped. And now the word of the Lord comes in again. When God allows things to drop in your life, it is because he is moving you to a different provider. When God allows things to drop in your life, it is because he has a different plan for us. So God says to him in verse 9, he says, arise, go to Zarephath, which belongs to Sidon, and stay there. Behold, I have commanded the widow there to provide for you. So God changes provider. It's changing his provider. Okay, I have a problem with this. First of all, Zarephath is the Baal belt. Just like you have some cities in the Midwest that's the church belt. Well, this was the Baal belt where Zarephath was. You know, they speak of the Bible belt. Zarephath is the Baal belt. That was the center of Baal's worship, Zarephath of Sidon. God will often test your faith by sending you to places you don't prefer to go because it doesn't make sense. How is a widow who's down to her last meal, as you're going to see in a minute, going to help me? She can't help herself. But God says, I commanded with the ED he had already sent forth this word and commanded the widow. And she is going to be your new provider. But he was close enough to God to hear his voice. Verse 10, it says, so he arose. He heard the voice of the Lord. It sounded ridiculous, but what did he do? He put his faith to action. He puts God's word to action. He rose. He arose. Because Elijah is a man of faith. So he is not going to just listen to God and say amen. He got up. See, when God gives us a word, we take the word and we say, oh, amen. We think that's it. But if you don't get up and do something, or do what he say do, you'll be saying amen for the rest of your life, and nothing's going to happen. He got up. He arose and went to Zarephath. And when he came to the gate of the city, behold, a woman was there gathering sticks. And he called out to her and said, please get me a little water in a jar that I may drink. Verse 11, as she went going to get it, he called out again, please bring me a piece of bread in your hand. So why does he says to that woman, well, God says there will be a woman. He comes to the city, he sees a woman. But is this the woman? You know, there were other women there. How do I know that this is the one? He says, well, give me some water. Give me some bread to see if this was the one that God had provided, had to provide for him. In verse 12, but she says, as the Lord your God lives, I have no bread. Only a handful of flour in a bowl and a little oil in a jar. And behold, I'm gathering a few sticks that I may go and prepare for me and my son that we may eat it and die. Now, I'm a little confused. Wait a minute. Didn't we just read God commanded the woman? In fact, Elijah says to her in verse 13, do not fear. So she was scared. I don't see the command because she is scared to death because she is down to her last meal. Here's this man asking me for stuff. And he says in verse 13, make me a little bread cake. From it first, and bring it to me, and afterwards you may make one for yourself and your son. He tells her, this is what I need you to do. I need you to make my bread first, and then you take care of you and your son. And when you do, this is what God's going to do. Verse 14. He says, for thus the Lord God of Israel says, the bowl of flour shall not be exhausted, nor shall the jar of oil be empty, until the day that the Lord sends rain on the earth, on the face of this earth. He gives her a promise from God. All this woman has is a promise. And a final meal. The question is whether she is going to believe the preacher. But now because he is a preacher, but because he is saying, thus says the Lord, what is he challenging her to do? He is challenging her to faith. Because all she had was a promise from a preacher. But his job was to get her to act in faith for her because she is going to be the beneficiary of the faith. He was going to be two because she was going to make bread cake for him. So what does the lady do? Verse 15. So she went and did according to the word of Elijah, which was the word of the Lord. And what happened? Verse 15 goes on to say, and she did, and her household ate for many days. Verse 16, the bowl of flour was not exhausted, nor did the jar of oil become empty, according to the word of the Lord, which he spoke through Elijah. So now let me give you the secret of your provision. Elijah, we got to leave here because this stuff, everything here that I did for you at first, had dried up. He said, but I got a widow. I know this doesn't make sense, but I got a widow over there, and she doesn't have much, but she is going to take care of you. So you do what I told you and go over there, and you minister to her. You create faith in her. And when you create faith in her, she is going to take care of you. But when she takes care of you out of obedience to me, because you excited faith in her, I'm going to take care of her. Or to put it in other words in scripture, in Luke 6 and 38, it says, give, and it, the things you give, will be given back to you, pressed down and overflowing. Because it says, and they return it back to you. The secret to your provision is to be a provider for somebody else who needs what you need, so God can return that need, that what you need, to bless them and return it back to you. The question is, what does God has to offer that you need? And this is not just about money. It can be relationships. It can be just a helping hand. It could be God pricking you to reach out to somebody else who's sad because you need encouragement. So you decide, well, I need encouragement. So let me go find somebody else who needs encouragement. So when I encourage them, you bring somebody back to me to encourage me. This is not just about tithes and offerings. It's about God being able to work through you to benefit somebody else. See, we always said in earlier, we are supposed to be God's disciples. We're supposed to have the ear to hear God and God to tell us what to do. I told you before about being in Bethel. That's where you learn to hear the word of God. But then when he went to Jericho and it sounds stupid, he tells you things and gives you information that doesn't sound too good at all. And then you say, well, I know it's the voice of the Lord, so I'm going to go forth and do it anyway. And you'll find out that when he tells you and sends you, you are moving in faith based on God's word to wherever you go. I remember very distinctly when this thing, our house has been a house where we used to feed a lot of people. Ever seen like every time we moved in the house, I think it was the day or the day after, it was around Thanksgiving, and all the family came in. My poor wife was sleeping. We haven't even moved in front of you yet. We haven't even got script. We just moved. And all these people coming to eat. And they did. Some guys ate so much they had to go to sleep before they could drive home. And then we had during the summer, we always, it seemed like our house has always been a meeting place to eat. Even during the summer when school was out, I had to go downstairs and come out the room and look downstairs to see how many had to cook breakfast for, because all Eric's friends, but four or five of them was laying down asleep. Their parents trusted them, that they trusted us, and they always, as long as they knew where their kids were, they knew they were safe, but they knew they were going to get fed too. And one day, I don't know what happened this particular day, but we were slammed out of food. Linda had, at that time, we weren't eating our paper plates because that was the cheapest thing that, you know, we did, but she was setting the table. And I was smiling, maybe she knows something I don't know. She neatly set the placemats down, the table, and the forks, and the spoons, and the knives, and just waited. She just waited. God told me to set the table. Nobody knew what was going on. Then about maybe, it went 15, 20 minutes later, we heard the doorbell ring. Here comes a person with 3 bags full of groceries. You tell me God won't provide. That was a bad time. This is a bad time. And I'm encouraging you, I don't care what the devil offer you, don't receive anything. I don't care if you lost your job, so you can't depend on him to do give you money. That the only person you have to depend on, your sole dependence has to be on Jesus Christ himself. He is the only one that can make a way out of no way. See, the devil, he make a way, but ain't no way out. See, this is very trying times for everybody. See, you may be thinking, and like some people would say, especially old people around my age, oh man, that's in the, or maybe young people, that's the Old Testament. No, I don't believe that works today. I don't believe that principle applies. See, I would go close to quoting to you Luke 4, verse 24. When Jesus was rejected by his own hometown, he says, "Truly I say to you, no prophet is welcome in his own hometown," talking about himself. Verse 25 says, "But I say to you, the truth, there were many widows in Israel in the days of Elijah. When the sky was shut up for 3 years and 6 months, when a great famine came over all the land," verse 26, "and yet Elijah was sent to none of them, but only to Zarephath in the land of Sidon, to a woman who was a widow." That's in the New Testament. God took us back to the Old Testament, who those naysayers and say, that was just in the Old Testament. That's not for the New Testament. Gerfen made it to the New Testament with a new prophet whose name is Jesus. And Jesus says, let me read back to the old prophet. He says, there was a whole lot of widows in Israel, but God sent you to only one. And the one he sent you to didn't even go to church. She was a widow of Zarephath. She was a Gentile. But because she was willing to act in faith, she was the only one who got the miracle. Even though there was a lot of other widows that could have gotten the miracle. But they were worshiping idols. If anything, you know, so the question on the floor is, are you going to be a unique person and God supernaturally provide for you? Or are you just going to ignore and pay attention to the world? See, if the widows only knew or only heard what God was planning to do. I mean, things dried up for 3 years, 3.5 years. Everything was dry. But Elijah and this widow was still eating from the land, from the hand of God. you will hear a lot that's going to go. It hasn't happened yet, but you're going to hear a lot that's going on. How the economy. I told, I think my son, he asked me, I told him I filled up his other car full of gas. Filled up Linda's car full of gas. I filled up mine, all three had been empty. And it was over $200 and some to fill them all up. But see how God provides? Some of my finances were cut off. But God still provided. Food has gone up. Meat has gone up. I told Linda, I said, well, and she picked up a piece of, what was that thing? That big piece of meat you picked up. I said, oh, we're going to get that and cook that for when we had the family over. The brisket, yeah, that's what it was. And I picked it up, you know, before, and it was like maybe $35, $40, something like that. But she picked that bits up. Do you know how much this thing cost? It was over $100, wasn't it?
$76.
$76. I said, well, put it back, baby. We don't need brisket. And we did get those hot dogs. But see, things are going to get tough. Mm-hmm. And you say, well, we go on vacation, you rent a car. And it was somewhere on the news that a lady had rented a car before it price had gone up, but she didn't set the deal yet, didn't sign the contract. And when she went back to get ready to go on vacation to find out, The car was, what, $1,600? $1,600. Things are going to get worse. So I'm encouraging. Well, I don't have to encourage you anymore. When things get rough and tough, the greater one who lives on the inside of you is more than he that lives within the world. Hold fast to your faith. Hold fast to your faith. I don't care how simple God, what he does and tell you so simple. It may be so stupid. It's too stupid for you to try. But look, he says the stupid things to confound the wise. Heavenly Father, once again, let's give your name all the glory, all the honor, and all the praise. Father, I thank you for your presence.